goes. And we've been doing Choose Joy. How many of you would agree that we live in a culture that there's not a lot of happiness and joy out there? And I see mostly anger. When I'm out and about, I mean, they bump into your grocery cart or something and say something, or they cut you off in traffic, and it's fixing to get worse with Christmas shopping. There's always a rush, you know. I love Christmas time because generally people are nicer except in the parking lot. And so you want to stay away from that. And probably want to stay away from Black Friday sales because they get crazy there too. There's no discount big enough for me to go into that crowd and do that. So it's like people go crazy. But I think one of the problems we have in our culture is we look everywhere but in the right place for joy. I told you the story about the lady that lost her keys. She looked all over the place for her keys, and she couldn't find them because she was looking in all the wrong places. They were in her purse. You don't have to raise your hand, ladies. I know some of y'all have done that before. Or you thought you left them somewhere else. And so you look everywhere, and that's really kind of a picture of us, because we tend to look in all the wrong places for joy. We look to relationships and think, if I just have this relationship, life is going to be good. We look to our jobs and think we're going to get joy there, or in our children. And all those things, none of those things are bad. They're just not where we're going to get our joy from. And so we've learned that we've got to choose joy. And so the first week before the hurricane that we missed, we learned that prayer has got to be the first choice. And typically what we do is we wait until we've already messed it up bad enough where we need to do one of those emergency room prayers. You know, God help me. You know, but we found that the first choice needs to be prayer. We need to pray before we make the bad decision. Pray before we marry the wrong person or whatever it is, you know, that you're looking to do, you know. And so we need to pray first. The second we talked about was the daily choice of purity, where we've got to choose to kill our old desires, our old nature, and live the life God wants us to live, the new nature. And then I told you last week that it's impossible to feel guilty and have joy at the same time. There should be a slide for that. It's impossible. In other words, you've got to learn to deal with your guilt. And so when Pastor Kathy and I were flying to a conference one time, we were flying with a Muslim who was going to Palestine. And Palestine's in the news all the time. And so he was on his way. And so Pastor Kathy said, "Well, how do y'all deal with guilt and sin?" He said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Jesus came and died and paid the price for our sin and removes our guilt. How do you do that?" He just kind of hung his head. He said, "We have to and hope that we get enough forgiveness." And so we learned you've got to deal with that guilt. And when you do, then you can have joy. But you can't have guilt, shame, and joy at the same time. So today the choice is kind of a choice of purpose. I'm calling it the life-changing choice. Because when you choose joy, it will change your life. And I believe joy has purpose. And so let me just pray. Father, I just pray right now as we look at your word, God, Lord, that you will change our lives as we learn to choose joy. That, God, you will help us, even in these crazy times, that, Lord, we'll live a life of joy that not only change our life, but lives of people around us as they see something in us they don't have. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look at the person next to you and say, "Choose joy.
Choose joy."
Now look at the other way that one you didn't say that to and say, "You look like you need some joy." All right. We were talking in the men's Bible study Tuesday morning that I believe Jesus had a good time with his disciples. I mean, go figure, 12 men and Jesus hanging out. They would do all kinds of, I believe they laughed at a lot of stuff. I believe when they came up to the Sea of Galilee, they might even skip rocks. You know, I mean, think about it. Peter's going to skip. He said, "I got 5 skips on that one. Jesus, what are you going to do?" Jesus throws a rock in the sea parts. I mean, I don't know, you know. I mean, but they had a good time together. And that attracted people to them. And that rock skipping thing is totally non-biblical, okay? So, just understand it. But I believe that they did. I believe they had some laughs. I mean, I think sometimes Jesus probably had to shake his head. How many times have I told you? And gives me hope. Because Pastor Kathy's always having to tell me, Robert, I don't know how many times I've told you. I'm in good company. I'm with Peter and all that. So, I believe they laughed. But let me tell you, that's not what the devil wants in your life. The devil wants to make you miserable. He wants to steal your joy away so that when people look at you and go, I don't want anything to do with that. And see, we're to be live an attractive life. And so the devil wants to steal, kill, and destroy. Matter of fact, John 10:10, if you look on your outlines, Jesus said the thief, and the thief there is the devil. And that word actually is like the thief, is like a pickpocket. In other words, he's a thief you don't see coming. He doesn't look like a thief. You know, but it says the thief's purpose is to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to kill your soul if he can and destroy your witness. He's going to come and he's in disguise. Like I said, he doesn't look like a thief. You know, he looks like something fun. I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have to tell the truth. I can come over here and do this. I don't have to be honest on my taxes. I can cheat on my taxes. Whatever. He's always looking like something would be fun, but see, he comes in disguise. Jesus said, though, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, Jesus came so we could have life more abundant. This is the way some translations read. I like rich and satisfying. How many of you would rather the steal, kill, and destroy this? Anybody? I like the rich and satisfying this. And so Paul goes on and talks about this. He said, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ, and I want you to tell you what that means. Belongs to Christ means that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. You've made a conscious decision that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. You depend on Him for your forgiveness of your sins. You've given your life to Him. That doesn't mean we're perfect. We're not, but that's what it means to belong to Christ. And he says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone, and the new life has begun. Look, the old life doesn't have joy. The old life gets you in places and positions you never thought you'd be. Like hugging a porcelain god. That's called a toilet, in case you don't know. It'll get you in a house that you never meant to be in. It'll get you in the jailhouse that you never wanted to go see. The old life will take you places you never wanted to go. But the new life, the rich and satisfying life, you'll find that things that you didn't think you'd find enjoyment in, you start finding enjoyment in. And you start liking different things. And the good news is you get to remember those things that you enjoy, unlike the old life. And so you begin to find things. You start enjoying spending time with your family. You start enjoying going to work because now you've got a purpose in being at work, and you begin to change, and you have that joy, that rich and satisfying life. Now, I believe to sustain joy, I think there's a divine order of joy. And I want to talk about that. Now, we're going to look at Hebrews 12 for a minute, and then we'll move on. And it kind of shows it here. So Hebrews 12, verse 1, he says, since we have such a huge crowd of men of faith, I want to tell you, that's men and women of faith. That's the witnesses. NIV and New Living say, this is the Living Bible. We've got these witnesses. I want you to picture yourself. You're running a race and you're coming into the last lap and you've got all these people in the stands and they're going, come on, Robert, you can do it. Come on, Wayne, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. You know, and they're doing it. They're cheering. He says, because we've got them, let us strip off anything that slows us down. And let me tell you, that may not be something bad. Can you make that bigger? It's just something that keeps you running the race that God has got for you. He goes, well, let's strip off anything that slows us down or that pulls us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves tightly around our feet and trip us up. Let us run with patience the particular race. Circle that. God has a particular race for you, a purpose for each one of you. And he said, let us run that race. So let us, you're coming in, I want you to picture, you're coming into the stadium, you're running, and you got to get rid of the things that slow you down and keep you from running the particular race God has. That might be sin. It's certainly sin in our life. We need to turn away from. We talked about repenting from that. But it can also be stuff that's not bad. It might be kids' activities on Sundays instead of that take you out of worship. It might be things that occupy your time so that you don't have time to worship, because worship's important. And so it's anything that slows your race down. And then he says this, keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and our instructor. He was willing to die a shameful death on the cross because of the joy he would do would be his after. It says, and now he sits in the place of honor by the throne of God. If you want to keep from becoming faint-hearted and weary, and think about his patience as sinful men did in such terrible times. So in other words, he said Jesus was willing to go through the shame of the cross. Think about it. He's the God of the universe. He decides to come be born as a little baby, vulnerable. Then he lives a life. He was a carpenter, construction worker for 30 years. And so he lives that life. And then he does ministry, and they arrest him, they kill him on false accusations, they beat him, they hang him on a cross naked. It's just shameful. And they do all that. And he was willing to go through that because he saw you and me. The joy he saw on the other side of the cross wasn't that he was sitting at the right hand of the Father. He was there before he came here. He saw you and me. He saw us coming back to relationship with God. He saw us being saved and following Christ. That's the joy that he saw. And it's a principle. And so the reason he went through all that pain was the joy on the other side. And the same thing is for us. We've got to look beyond sometimes the struggle to see the joy. I mean, it happens to us. I mean, think about it. You start a project around the house, there's a struggle. You know, and then on the other side of the project, there's a lot of joy. There's going to be a lot of joy when we're done Saturday. All right? We're going to be tired. But there's going to be joy. Why? Because we've worked together on it, but we've also helped a lot of people. And that's going to make you feel good. We've got to make a choice of obedience to do this. But on the other side of it, listen, obedience always comes before joy. When you make that choice of obedience and you follow what Christ is wanting to do in your life, then you're going to experience joy. There's always joy on the other side. That's why Jesus was able to go to the cross. Let me talk about the divine order of joy. It's in the letters joy. We're going to have a joy fellowship, you know, on December 5th. But just look at the letters joy. J is for Jesus. Jesus has to be first. You're going to have joy, you get it from Jesus. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said this, but seek, that's aim and strive after, first of all, his kingdom. So we got to seek Jesus and his kingdom. And it says, and his righteousness, that's simply his way of doing the right thing. And then all these things will be taken together and given to you. Besides, what do we do first? We normally go after the things, don't we? Instead of after the relationship. And he said, Jesus has got to be first. We seek him first. The O is for others. Let me tell you, life isn't about me, myself, and I. And so we've got to put others before us. Jesus, then others. Paul said this, and I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than receive. And it is, and so you put others first. And so Jesus changes everything. He changes your priorities. He changes us from wanting to get, to where we're willing to give of ourselves. The why is yourself. We're third. Say this with me. I am third. I'm third. Jesus, others, and then ourselves. Ourselves. And here's why we can do that. Peter said this, give all your worries and cares to the Lord. Because he cares about you. You just give all your worries and cares to the Lord. He's going to take care of your worries and prayers. He said, seek first his kingdom, back up in Matthew 6:33, and you're going to get everything else. He's going to give you everything else. And so you give all your worries to him. Now, we're going to look at another passage in Isaiah, which is not necessarily what you think of a joy passage, but it was written in a difficult time of Israel. And all of their news was bad news, kind of like our news. But for them, it was more like getting conquered again kind of news, you know. But it was just bad news. And as it kept getting worse, as they kept making decision after decision, moving further away from God, their situation kept getting worse. Just kind of like ours is. We make decisions as a culture to move further away from God, and things get worse in our culture. And as long as we keep doing that, things are going to keep getting worse. But Isaiah said this. He saw beyond that. He said, the people that walk in darkness, that was at this time the nation of Israel. They were in a dark time. We're living in a dark time. He said, the people that walk in darkness will see a great light. He's talking about Jesus. For those who lived in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Folks, let me tell you, Jesus came as the light of the world. And he says, you who are living in darkness, you're going to see a great light. Then he goes on to say, you will enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. Its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people with at the harvest or warriors getting the plunder. Let me tell you, he's saying, look, you're going to go through the dark time, but I'm shining a light on you that's going to cause you to have great joy, just like if you were a farmer and you had a harvest, and it was bigger than you ever thought it could be. Maybe it's an investment you put in, and you thought you're going to maybe break even or make a little bit, and you made 100%. I mean, this something's going to make you happy. If you're a soldier, you won the battle, and you got some plunder. We have a second nephew or something like that that was in the first Gulf War. He was a foot soldier. He was saying, you know, I kind of wish I was a tank guy. He said, those guys, they filled their tank up with the plunder, you know. He said, I got carried on my back, and I can't bring much on. My uncle brought a Nazi flag and a Blucher that he took from some Germans when he came back from World War II. That's the plunder. So soldier is excited. He won the battle. He got the plunder. But let me tell you, to get the plunder, to get the medals, you have to go through a battle. You have to go through a battle. And so we're going to go through a battle. And let me tell you, if you come out of that battle with great joy, just like the harvesters, just like the soldiers. And let me tell you, if I'm going to go through a battle, if I'm going to go through a bunch of pain, I wanted to have some purpose. I wanted to have some purpose. I wanted to be something that's going to help me bring joy to other people as well. I don't know. You think we need more joy in our culture? I think we do. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I want joy in my life. I want the longer Pastor Kathy and me are married to have more joy together. I want the longer I serve the Lord to have more joy. The more I give to the Lord, more joy. I just want more joy. And for you, my man, as you lead a group, as you serve the Lord, more joy. I think we all want more joy. So let me give you some practical tips about life-changing joy. Number one, life-changing joy starts from the inside out. It starts on the inside and it goes out. And Galatians 2:23, Paul said this, but the Holy Spirit, the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God, produces this kind of fruit. He's working in you. When you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. And we'll talk about being filled with the Spirit and stuff like that another time. But the Holy Spirit's living in you and he produces this kind of fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's saying here that joy is a fruit that grows from the inside out. It's not dependent on what's going on outside. It's dependent on what's happened inside, on the Holy Spirit growing that fruit. And I like the fact that it's between love and peace. I want the people that I love to have joy, and I want the peace that I walk in to be a joyful peace. And, you know, that joy and peace were the two reasons I looked to become a Christian. I was missing those when I was younger. And so, love, joy, and peace. It starts on the inside. And it's fruit. I can't say that enough. Anything that comes from the outside that can be taken away is the happiness. And that's fun. I mean, I love it when my teams win and all that kind of stuff and good things happen. But that's not joy. That's happiness. And so, number one, life-changing joy is inside out. Number two, life-changing joy is beyond our circumstances. Kind of touched on that. It doesn't depend on what's going on. That's why even today, with the loss of a friend, we can choose joy. It's based on the truth of God, and it's based on a relationship with Him. The psalmist, David, said, the commandments of the Lord are right. I want you to understand that. What's written in this Bible is got to be the foundation of our life. It's got to be the foundation that we build our life on. He said, the commandments of the Lord are right. I used to always tell people my dad was always right. Somebody said, you mean your dad always thought he was right? I said, no, pretty much always worked out that he was right, you know. And so the Lord is always right. And he said, look at this, bringing joy to the heart. When we obey God, it's going to be joyful to the Lord. It says, the commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for we're living. And so not only will he bring us joy, he will give us insight to live our lives in a way that sustains joy. Does that make sense? Am I making sense? Okay, all right. Good. And so God is bigger than our circumstances. That's what we got to know. God is bigger than our circumstances. He's bigger than the problems you're going to have at work. He's bigger than somebody said something about you. He's bigger than that. And you can have joy no matter what the circumstances are. Number three, life-changing joy happens with others. You experience it with others. You know, and we were built to be connected to each other. What God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. He didn't just mean that husband and wife. We're built for relationships, for friendships. And so he wants us to experience joy together. And there's no joy on the path that's me, myself, and I. You know what I mean? There's no Lone Ranger joy. That's loneliness path is what that is. And like I said earlier, next Saturday, we're going to be tired. We'll be tired Friday, too. We're going to be tired at the end of that. I'm probably going to be tired at the end of this week. I've got to go to Georgia and check on my mother. She just, any day now, could be passing. And then we've got to, be back for this. And so it's going to be tired, but there's going to be a lot of joy. Backside of that when you help a lot of people. And I'll tell you, there's going to be joy when my mother is with her King of Kings. And that's where she wants to be. And so Jesus said, the psalmist says, show me the way of life, granting me the joy of what? Presence. You see, we get joy in the presence of God in each other. We get joy in the life and the pleasures of living with you forever. Number four, life-changing joy is always going to win. Life-changing joy is going to win. He's going to give you relationship wins. I mean, people are, when you're living a life of joy, people are going to see it and they're drawn to it. It's going to give you probably financial wins. You know, as you just live, when you got a positive outlook, you're going to do better things with your money. And it's certainly going to give us eternal wins. Because we're living a life of joy. Living a life of joy. Nehemiah said this. And he goes,
for sure.
Go and celebrate. He said, go and celebrate. They're rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, all right? He said, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. So he said, go have a party. Go celebrate. And then he said, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing. That's what we're going to do Saturday. And nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before the Lord. But then here's our issues of focus. He said, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Where do we get our strength? From the joy of the Lord. It's not something we can talk to take vitamins for. It's something that comes from the Lord. We get the joy of the Lord. He gives us our strength. I'm telling you, the enemy of your soul wants you to live by yourself. He wants you to be miserable. He doesn't want you to have joy. He doesn't want you to be connected to God or anybody else. But we know we need to be connected to God. We need to be connected to each other. And when we do that, there's joy. But when we don't, there's no joy. The devil wants you to live for now. He wants you to live for an event. I'm going to commit myself to the Lord as soon as I do this. And then that turns into something else. Something else. And see, the enemy wants you to just look for an event. God came and gave you a rich and satisfying life. He wants you to enjoy that every day. That joy is more than a moment. I think Jesus died on the cross so we could have that rich and satisfying life. That new life. Not that old life. That new life. Let me tell you something else. The Bible says that when one person comes to faith in Christ, there's a huge celebration in heaven. Pretty cool, huh? And so if somebody's here today or listening on Facebook, you don't know Jesus, if you decide to commit yourself, the Lord, there's going to be a party for you in heaven. It's your first birthday party, I guess. But you see, there's great celebration, and we need to celebrate that as well, because Jesus did die so we could have not only eternal life, but a rich and satisfying life. Bow your heads. Maybe you're here, maybe you don't really have a purpose, or you're not living a life that's rich and satisfying. You're living a life that's kind of empty. And but my prayer is that today you're ready to step out and change that. You're ready to say, you know what, I'm going to turn from living just my way to living for God. Maybe you're tired of smiling on the outside when you're hurting on the inside. So I just want to pray for you. But first, I want to give you an opportunity. Because prayer starts with Jesus. I mean, joy starts with Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus. This is the foundation of my life, is to know Jesus, make him known. If you run into me, I want you to know two things about me. I want you to know I love God with all my heart and soul. Because of that, I love you. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm not sure you know Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity.